Well, I want you to look in 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you would, and we're going to look at Elkanah and Hannah. You hopefully got a handout on the way in. If you choose to follow along there, those will be there for you. But we're looking at this wonderful example of parental procedure, but then also just trusting the Lord. And so Hannah, that famous mother that certainly prayed for the Lord's giving them a child, and the one that she said, "This for this child I prayed, and I trust it's a blessing." But before you look at what God did in their life, you also got to look at the problems that God allowed to happen beforehand. And sometimes we don't see the blessings of God because we get too sideways about the issues that we don't like as it's leading up to what God's going to do. So if you look at in chapter 1, verse number 5, the Bible says here the situation that Hannah and Elkanah, her husband, were in, that she was not having children, and that was something that she obviously wanted to do because Scripture says in just a little bit she earnestly sought the Lord that He would give her a child. But unto Hannah He gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. This is talking about her husband, Elkanah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And sometimes people say, well, why would God do that? Why would He do something that she didn't like? And sometimes the Scripture describes things and it says God did it and He allows many things. But in this case, He had shut up her womb. And He did this apparently to show Himself strong and provide after she had found herself in the spot where she was going to ask God for a child. So it's important for us to remember that God is sovereign. Remember that He's going to do what He wants, when He wants to do it, with whom He wants to do it. Brother Bob Bryant, but when he was still here with us, and he had told me how that truth that I just shared with you came to him and how a preacher had brought it to him because he was having such trouble figuring out why certain things were happening to certain people. And he came to that truth that God was going to do what He wanted to do, when He wanted to do it, with whom He chose to do it. And so we have to understand that that is the God that we serve. And so we see here that Hannah finds herself in a spot that she desperately did not want to be in, but then that's where the beautiful story unfolds, that she sees God work in her life. So I want you to look back up just a little bit in verse number 3 and see who we're dealing with here. The Bible says, "And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there." And so yearly to worship, this would be the equivalent to us saying today, they're church-going folk. That would be the expression that you might use. Well, they went up yearly. It wasn't a place that was right on the way and in a different dispensation, different time that they lived. And so they went up there. Now, they were religious the rest of the year as well, and they sought the Lord and they did the things that they were supposed to. But they went up, the Bible says, to worship and to sacrifice and the Lord in Shiloh. And they got up there when they got the priest's sons. And of course, you know that they were not the boys that they should have been. But we understand who were dealing with here. So this is not just somebody that says, well, God didn't give them any children. They weren't living for Him anyways. They were living for Him and they were doing what God wanted them to do. And so this is who they were. They were the ones, like I said, they're the church going tribe. Oh, you can count on them being in church. And it's not a bad thing when people decide, oh, I may stop by and see them on Sunday morning. Well, if they know us very well, they probably ought to think, well, they're probably going to be in church on Sunday morning. And that's not a put down. That's a blessing to have a testimony like that. So we're going to look at, first of all, her place. Not that her place, her spot that she was supposed to serve, but instead her place that she liked to go to. And so we see when Hannah is the star of the story here, so to speak, Elkanah, of course, is faithful as well. But in verse number 7, "And as he did so, her husband, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat." So she was distraught. Again, I'm telling you that there were some things in her life that she didn't like. God obviously orchestrated them, but she didn't like it. But her place was the spot that she went to worship the Lord. And I wonder about me, where is my spot? You say, you're the pastor here. You're supposed to be here. This is your spot. We expect to see you. I laugh over the years. Sometimes we were children's pastor for years, and sometimes it was so surprising when children would see you out somewhere as if they just folded me up in the back room sometime through the week and kept me until the next Sunday when they came on the church bus or something. But this is my place. This is the spot I like. I like to be here. You come through the week. Most of the time I'm here, and the staff is here. We have a good time. This is it. This is our place. But you may not have this place as the spot you come to every day of the week, but this is your spot as well. And I'm so thankful that God has put us together in this spot. And we see that she was a God-fearing lady. We need more of those folks to be holy and honest and humble and all of these things. You see, we come from folks that I do, come from folks that like church. My wife's dad, a deacon for years and years, my father-in-law, Delbert, and literally with his hands built some of the churches that they worshiped in. And so the men of the church would, in old days, they would just rise up and build the buildings. And my father-in-law's been involved in different churches that he's literally built around Jackson County. So that's my father-in-law. My dad, we lived at different times behind the church. And so it would be in the front, and we lived in the house behind there. And if not there, when we lived in another place, we were at the church a lot. And so we were church folks. My papaw he and his wife had such an impact on my family, us four kids, bought the farm that they have down on the road that my dad still lives on, but bought that farm as opposed to the farm that was another couple miles down the road, because at that point they didn't have any vehicle, and so their walk from church would have been double had they bought the farm on down the road. So they purchased the farm that my family still has, and they bought that one because that was closer to the church that they were going to have to walk to. We come from a line of people who like church. And so that's the way that Hannah was. She was that one that liked to be in church. And so I say that for the slip that you're filling out, her place. And I hope that you let God do a work in your heart and you say, that's my place too. I love it when I get to come there. I enjoy it. I love it when folks come to stop by through the week and just to pick up something, drop off something, do something in a class or do something, and it's just a wonderful place. But we see that was her place. If we're looking at her life, though, once you look in verse number 11, and we're going to see the most famous thing that I know about Hannah, and that's her prayer. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. I was visiting with Brother John Mineta, and we were talking about prayer and talking about how I said, well, I pray different times. Lord, if you'll do this. And sometimes folks will get disbelieving when you say, God, please work in this way. And now, please understand, you don't get God over a barrel. You don't say, Lord, you got to do this. If it's not something that he's already committed himself to in his word, you can't force him to do things, but you can pray. But sometimes people will get the negative idea to say, well, I don't think you should bargain with God to say, God, if you will do this, then I will do that. Please don't misunderstand. I don't think you should be manipulative, because you can't. But I certainly don't think there's anything wrong with a prayer like Hannah. Lord, if you give me him, I'll give him back. There was a good friend of ours, he's still in Murfreesboro, and he owned a business, and he had wherewithal to get some products in the way that he would do it, and he would have projects, and he would oftentimes tell me, he didn't say it publicly, but he'd tell me, he said, well, Brother John, he said, I bought that, that's God's. He funded it, he bought it, and he said, whatever it does, he was in sales and different things, whatever it does, that's God's. If it makes $5 or $5,000, it's just God's. I've just already given that to him. I thought, well, what a wonderful way to be. Lord, you just do what you want. And we would do well to just say, Lord, if you'll give these things to me, then I will honor you with it all of my life. There's been many folks that have prayed for God to give a job or to give some leading on a house or give whatever. Said, Lord, if you give it to me, then I will use it for your glory. But we've oftentimes turned our back on what we said we'd do. Been many of folks that have prayed for a job and God gave it to them, and they allowed that job to become the king of their life instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would challenge you as you pray. I don't think there's anything wrong to pray like Hannah did and just say, Lord, if you will, then I will serve you with it. I don't think there's anything a bit wrong with doing it. She was in the bitterness of soul in verse number 10, and she prayed unto the Lord. And we see that she was sincere in that. You say, how do you know she was sincere? Because you don't have to read but another chapter. And she did exactly what she said she would do. Lord, if you give him to me, I'm giving him back. And so we see that her prayer, and I just put James chapter 5, verse number 16. You know that that verse, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I've been blessed, as I mentioned already, my father-in-law, but my mother-in-law, I can't hardly preach about prayer without sharing the illustration of her. She was a godly lady that loved the Lord. And if I've ever known somebody who was a prayer warrior, it was Helen Norris. And so I thank God for that example in my wife's life and our family's life. And so I'm saying that tonight that in Hannah's life, she wasn't praying, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I don't think that's wrong. I think it's a good habit to get children into that you pray before you go to bed or have some other little just little token prayers before you eat. I don't think any of that's wrong because you're getting your children in the habit of praying. But I think that you ought to, as you grow in your Christian life, have a lot more meaningful prayers than just those little rote prayers that we teach people. And so sometimes folks get intimidated and they feel inadequate to pray. But when you look at what Hannah was doing, she was just pouring out her heart to God. So if I could give you a lesson on prayer for tomorrow and the next day, just talk to the Lord. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I know all of the protocol. I don't know if I do either. But he's the prayer hearer. I'm supposed to be the one that prays. And so I think I ought to get busy with my part and not worry so much about whether I've got all things in line. I do it like this simply. You pray and ask God to forgive you for all the things you've done that you shouldn't have done. Get everything all cleaned up and then just pray. And that's what Hannah did here. As she vows to the Lord and she asks these things, she's in, the Bible says, bitterness of soul. You say, I don't know how to get in bitterness of soul. I don't know that you need to get in bitterness of soul, but if you think about some things and people in your family that are away from the Lord, that'll get you in bitterness of soul. If you think about a world that's lost and on its way to hell, that'll get us in bitterness of soul, and we'll pray more for the Hutchins over in New Zealand. We'll pray for our bus workers. We'll pray for our teachers that are trying to give the gospel. We'll pray for Kyle. I want you to pray for Kyle that God would give him inroads with teenagers in our area. We've got Daniel Boone High School right down here. We've got people everywhere. We need to be reaching them with the gospel, and if we get to look and see what people are heading toward when they're without Christ, then it'll get us in bitterness of soul as well. Let me move on from there, but I see her prayer. Now, this next one, I used to think for years this was not a bad word, but a negative connotation. The blank is going to be her piety. And because it fits with the P's, you know, the prayer, the place, and the piety. But I used to think that was a negative context, like they look down their nose at somebody, oh, they're a pious person, they have a lot of piety. But here's the definition of it. The quality of being religious or reverent. So, we ought to all have piety. Because I know some people say, I don't want to be religious, I just want to be close to Jesus. I understand, but that's just semantics. We ought to be a religious group. We ought to religiously read our Bible. We ought to religiously pray. We ought to religiously go and tell others about Jesus Christ. And so her piety, look in verse number 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So this is that time when God's going to answer her prayer. We see that she was seeking the Lord and God was listening. We look back in verse number 8 and it says, Elkanah, her husband, said to her, why weepest thou and why eatest thou not and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better thee than 10 sons? It wasn't that she wasn't happy with her husband, but she certainly wanted to have a child from God, and that's what drove her in that piety, that religion. That's what drove her in that authentic relationship she had with God. She decided that it was time to worship the Lord and seek the Lord. And as I mentioned in verse number 11, that prayer, if thou will, dear Lord. That's about like us praying, Lord, if it be your will, would you let this happen? There's things in this room right now. We could go around here and take the next hour and say, what do you need? What do you want in your life? And all of us, if we thought for just a minute, we'd say, well, Lord, if you would do this. If you're married in here, everybody ought to have a prayer. I hope your marriage is going great. And if it is, you ought to say, Lord, keep it sweet, because there's been many marriages that have been ruined by somebody else and some problems. And so you ought to go with intensity. You could weep and you could pray and say, Lord, keep our marriage together. If you've got children in here or grandchildren, you've certainly got reason to pray. I'm saying that our piety, that quality of being religious or reverent, and we ought to see that we seek the Lord. And it says, Lord, if you give him to me, I'll give him back to you. No razor come against him. He, all of these things, dear Lord, what you want done, I'll do. So we see that piety. But as I'm keeping in with the P's of the outline, I want you to look at her palace. Now, this is her home. And so we're going to see just a little glimpse into what it is. So you know the story. God would you, and God does. And so she brings him home. And so as she's raising him and she's getting him to a spot where he's going to get weaned, he's going to get old enough to where he can live and be out there. And she skips one time going up to the house of God. And she says that I'm going to keep him here, raise him till he's old enough, and then take him up. Now, I always tell, if I preach on this or teach on this, I usually say, give a time out. We're not looking for you to drop your kids off here. If you have them, you keep them at your house. But do bring them here pretty often. We'll keep them in the nursery. But in this day, God was working it out, and they brought him there. And so we see that her home was going to have a purpose now. Verse 22, would you look there, chapter 1, verse 22. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. Look back at chapter 1, verse number 11, just 11 verses prior, halfway down through there. If thou will, but will give unto thine handmaid a child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Verse 22, she said, I won't go up right now because I'm going to wean him, but then I will bring him, that right about the middle of the verse, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. We're going to see here that Elkanah has the patience with her, and he says in verse 23, her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode and gave her child son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, verse 24, she took him up with her, 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. So it goes on. They slew a bullock, brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood in thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed. And so we see that her palace turned into a place just for a little while to raise somebody for the Lord's glory. I was talking with Brother Robbie Eastep the other day, and they've helped lots of families. And so probably one of the saddest things that funeral directors do is take care of the family that loses a child. And they don't have the answers of why, of course. But here we have just a little glimpse of a family that didn't keep the child for very long. It didn't go through death, but it also didn't get raised at the home, but took it as a little mission from God, or little mission, big mission from God for a short time, to raise him up and then take him off to serve the Lord. And then, of course, she would go back year by year. You know the story. But we see the patience there of the husband says, do what you want. That's fine. And then we see that in verse number 24, I guess it was. Well, no, that's where the offering that she took up, just in the relation of the worship service that they were going to go to. And then in verse number 28, it concludes, therefore also I have lent him. I've lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Do you know that your grandchildren, your children, all of them are supposed to be lent, given to the Lord as long as they live? There's been many a young person that wanted to do more for God than their parents wanted them to do. And that's a huge deterrent when you've got parents that don't do that. Amy and I, over the years, we've talked to many folks that have discouraged their children. They pushed them back. I'm thinking of one yet particular one right now. He surrendered, wanted to go and preach the gospel. His parents said, well, I'd rather you do this, and then after you go to MTSU, which is in Murfreesboro, go and get a degree, and then if you still want to do that, then we can investigate that. You might imagine that he didn't follow that path because of the restriction, so to speak, that the parents had put on him. But I'm seeing that with our three that our God has graciously given, they're not ours. We for a while might have thought they were. They're the Lord's. And so I'm thanking God for the principles in Scripture that Hannah says, Lord, we've lent him back to you. And so we see the good example that you ought to have and I ought to have. As we look at her palace, it was the place to raise those children for the glory of God. I shared with you recently, but it fits so well here, that I was at a pastor's meeting, and they were talking about how we as churches could get more people into the ministry because it's so important in missions and going to serve God. And this old preacher who had been preaching for a long time, he said, I believe it's going to have to be from the homes when moms and dads expose their children to the possibility of them being in the gospel ministry. Now, you nor I am supposed to call anybody in the ministry. We can't twist their arm. We can't make anybody go in. So that's not my point in that at all. But if we're going to tell children, as we do, say, wow, look, an engineer figured out how to build that building, and we're going to lift that job up. That's good. Or look at that person, he was able to figure all that out. Look at that huge building that contractor built, and look at the amazing, that's good. Look at how somebody did this. We expose our children to all kinds of vocations. While we're doing that, that's good. Don't ever pull them back in case God wants them to serve him with all of their life and go be a missionary somewhere. That'd be a wonderful thing for your children or my children to get involved with. And sometimes we hold back on that one because it scares us. But what I'm saying to us this evening is just lend our children to the Lord. And sometimes people get hung up on that, lent them. Well, that means you're taking it back. No, it says for all of his life. And truly, they are God's anyways. So Hannah gives us this great, and Elkanah gives us this great example. And I trust that as God gives us, maybe you don't have children in here, but you've got influence over other children. May we pray and seek the Lord in their lives and use this example of Hannah so that we can be all that they need us to be as we try to lead them. Would you pray together with me? Father, thank you for this other couple here to look to in the Bible. Lord, as we looked at the piety, the dedication of Hannah. Lord, what a joy. And Elkanah was there and trying to lead as well. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things. Their home was a little raising station for that servant of the Lord. And Lord, I pray that our homes would be that same thing. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would be found making our prayers as fervent as Hannah did. Lord, I pray that we would love this church house as well, just like they did as they came up year by year to the house of God. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our lives. Thank you for us, for this, I should say. As we're praying tonight, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to just make an altar out of your seat, come down here at the front and pray wherever you want to do. But may all of us take a little bit of lesson from Hannah and Elkanah of how we can make our lives count for God of the Bible. If you're able to, would you stand together with us as their ladies are playing and God's speaking to your heart? I invite you to come, pray. But maybe you've got somebody on your heart. You should have if you've got a child. You should have if you've got a grandchild. Some of you have great-grandchildren. Do you know what their life was given to this earth for? For them to serve God. I don't know they were supposed to serve God like I am full-time. I don't know they were supposed to be a missionary on a full foreign field. But I do know their life is for service. So would you right now, whoever God's bringing to your mind, that new grandson of ours, that grandchild of yours, would you pray for them right now? Whoever God is bringing to your mind, if your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, nephews, he's bringing somebody to mind right now. Would you pray and ask God to make their life be all that he wants them to be? And would you also ask him to help you not stand in their way? Woe be unto us from hindering somebody to do all that God wants them to do. They're going to play one more verse. And if God's dealing with your heart, make that holy prayer right now where you are. If you need to come to the front, if you're here tonight, need to be shown the gospel of Jesus Christ, come on down. Let me take the Bible and show you that. And Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the chance to be in your house. Bless us, I pray, as we go out of here. Lord, thank you for your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Brother Steve Mullins just walked up to me. Of course, you know his son is our missionary over in UK, United Kingdom, and his missionary there doing a wonderful job. And now one of Steve's grandchildren is over there for this semester because of the exchange training that they do from Crown College and the Crown UK. And so his son and now his granddaughter's over there serving. What a joy. And praise God for that. Well, thank you for being in church tonight. I'm going to make my way back to the lobby. And if you need something, we'll be back there. Don't forget to holler at us. And please be praying for the Russell family. If you're able to stop by tomorrow night, I know that'd be a blessing. We'll see you here then. God bless you. You're dismissed.